able to begin to heal.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York, and we are standing by for an update from California, where authorities have found the body of the shooter who not only killed 10 people last night in Monterey Park, but tried to carry out a second attack. CBS's Steve Futterman explains.
One of the big breaks authorities got was when people who saw the gunman leave this second dance club said he was driving what they described as a white cargo van. Police immediately went out. They began looking for it. They did finally spot it. And eventually, a standoff took place in a parking lot at a shopping mall around 30 miles from Monterey Park.
Authorities still don't have a motive. More fallout for President Biden now over more documents found at his home in Delaware. Ohio Republican Mike Turner.
The chain of custody here is going to be important because we know that these were in Joe Biden's hands and Joe Biden's control. And then it ended up behind his Corvette in his garage and in his office that he did not control, and also throughout his house.
It's unclear what level of classification these new documents have. On Capitol Hill, members of Congress are already clashing on raising the debt ceiling. Here's CBS's Robert Costa.
Many more moderate centrist House Republicans, those who are traditional Republicans, are looking at this and they don't want to get in front of McCarthy. They know he has to meet with Biden in the coming weeks and tell the president he wants this and that in terms of a deal. But if a deal falls apart, they're starting to have back channel conversations of could a coalition of 10 to 15 House Republicans get together with 200 plus House Democrats to get a clean extension through the House.
A controversial new film premiered this weekend at Sundance.
The film is called Justice, and it looks into sexual misconduct allegations against Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh before he was confirmed by the U.S. Senate. The film, which debuted to a sold-out theater at Sundance, was made under intense secrecy. It focuses on allegations made by Kavanaugh's Yale classmate, Deborah Ramirez. Her allegations were detailed in a New Yorker article in 2018. Ramirez's allegations are separate from those that came to light during the confirmation hearings, which detailed the accounts of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, who claimed Kavanaugh assaulted her when they were both teenagers. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
Today marked the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Vice President Kamala Harris decried its reversal in Florida.
The right of every woman in every state in this country to make decisions about her own body is on the line. And I've said it before, and I will say it again, how dare they?
More than a dozen states have passed new laws restricting abortion since the Supreme Court overturned Roe last year. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies tonight with lows around 11. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance of snow showers. Daytime highs approaching 28. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Chance of snow showers. Lows dip down to about 21. A dusting of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Hello, world, and welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this January 22nd, session 11-ish.
I don't remember. Like, don't turn to me. I don't know what it is.
Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager. Seth, how you doing?
I am doing well. Hope everyone having a good evening out there in Radioland this Sunday night. And we've got a really fun show coming up.
We really do. We are going to be taking some time today with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Edgy Directors Showcase, Who is Afraid of Virginia Woolf? We've got a couple of the cast members and director here. I'll let you both introduce yourselves. Mystique, you can go ahead and go first.
I'm Mystique McCumber. I am the director, and I'm also playing George in the production.
Thank you for being here, Mystique.
And I'm Moselle Stoiber, and I play Martha in the production.
I really cannot thank you both enough for being here. There's so much about this show that I want to talk about, even if it was kind of like just reading it from script verbatim or anything, let alone some of the evolution you've done with this show, if I can. So before we get into that, I want to not get ahead of ourselves and get to your stories. First off, Mystique, what got you into theater? How long have you been doing this?
Oh, I started theater, I guess, back in high school. I did a couple of shows at Nakusa, where I went to school. Then I didn't do anything for a long time. When my youngest child turned 10, I felt like I finally had time to do it. Got back into community theater, and that was probably 14 years ago. So I've been doing a few shows since then.
Moza, how about you?
I did one play in high school. It was something that was really fun, but I didn't do a lot of it. My children were both actors, and so when my older son, Gavin, turned 13, he wanted to audition at WRCT, and there was a role for both of us, so I auditioned with him, and he got me into being on stage, and I loved it, and it was, just super fun. So I've been doing plays since then, and I've taken director's workshop, stage manage, do tech and all that as well. But this is, I don't even know, maybe my eighth or ninth production there.
Who's counting?
I don't count, actually.
No, don't.
Some people do, but no. And I love it. It's great. It's great. Great hobby.
So in synopsis, we blame kids. It's the children. One way or another, kids have led you guys to WRC. No. Kids are great. Kids are wonderful. I want to talk about the show now. What got you involved with this one? Now, the main stage shows, of course, we go, we audition, and you get cast or not. With something like this, with the Edgy Director Showcase that WRCT is doing, this is more of a, tends to be passion projects, tends to be things that you yourself brought to the fold, maybe brought to Tim, executive director over at WRCT, and talked about doing. How did this one come about, Misty?
Well, I keep saying and I know I shouldn't
do it
that.
Like 90 times on the morning show. You're fine, yes.
It is, yes, it's a passion project. It's a bucket list item, if you will. I have loved this play since I discovered it when I was in college. I had to write a couple of papers about it for several classes. I was able to stretch it out over, I think, like three different classes. It was great. I absolutely fell in love with it, and I always wanted to play Martha. Oh, it's such a meaty role, and it's so good. And then And then a few years ago, I saw a staged reading of it, and I was blown away because the actors weren't necessarily age appropriate or body type appropriate, if you will. But it was, you sat in the room with them, and I went, I want to be George. Oh, he is so good. He is so well written. I mean, it's just a great script. But it's like, okay, who is going to produce Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf around here? And who would cast me as George? Nobody. So if I want to do it, I have to do it myself. And because we have this Edgy Director Showcase option, I went to Tim and said, I want to do this as a staged reading. And then my cast all said, no, we need to memorize.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mystique, for that. Yes. Thank you. I think it's really interesting. We'll get more into this too, but that stage reading you saw and how that impacted you and going forward with it, especially considering you already had a love for the show itself and how that kind of changed a little bit or grew a little after that. So I want to come back to that a little bit. And passion projects are such a big part of what this is all, you know, what we're doing here as entertainers. This show itself is a passion project in many ways. My daughter was really wanting to do a show together, her and I. And she was going through script after script. She said she'd gone through with about like 50 or 60 of them.
Yikes.
And just none of it was there for her. And it dawned on her, well, wait a minute, what if I just write one? Why don't I just write a part for us? And I think that there's more and more people looking to do that, looking to either take Oklahoma and spin it on its head, or take something like, you know what, I'm not just going to wait to find a script. I'm going to make one. Especially this younger generation. They're not waiting for us to, like, you know, for their time in the sun. They're just going to take it. I think there's something powerful, but also just beautiful about that creatively.
I think that's one of the nice opportunities that is provided by this little venue, too. And I applaud everyone that was involved in making the decision to do that, because you don't often have a little spot where you can do things like that. And WRCT is really kind of branching out to expand what they have to offer for the actors and the directors, but also for the community. And it is one of those where, you know, it's not for everyone. There's definitely a more mature theme, and there's, you know, swear words and things. So not all of our audience really wants to hear that when they go. But for those of us who are not averse to those types of topics and subject matter, then we have a venue to do that, and it's really cool. And, you know, kind of to speak to some of how these get thrown out there, it's usually, like, director-led. I know Mystique and I had talked about doing this show last summer, and you know, we've worked together before and always wanted to do more together, and it was just a good opportunity. So a lot of times and none of these have I noticed that there's any audition process. It's, you know, your director kind of finds the actors and brings them with, because you don't have a lot of time. It's not a traditional main stage production. You have to get your ducks in a row first and then present, but it's a great opportunity for anybody that wants to do something a little more independent.
Looks like you gave us a little of the answer, but how did you get involved in this, Mo?
Oh, Mystique offered and asked if I would read. We did a read through, and I had seen the movie. I know I did a long time ago, and I remember it, but I don't remember the details. So we did
don't
the read
push
through.
Me,
Martha. We did the read through last summer, and I was all in. Martha's a great role, and I like doing darker characters. I like, you know, mean. I like to play mean roles sometimes, and she's got a little bit of everything. I just find that's more fun for me. So,
well, it's because people think Moselle is nice. She's not.
Oh my gosh,
she's got an
very mean.
She's got an edge.
I'm so mean, and this it's so easy for me to do these mean roles. Well, I did because you know, I'm a chiropractor, and I have patients that see me in a certain way. And when I put the listing for this on my Facebook page, and I just had to put in there, just remember, I'm acting. Don't worry, I'm not mean.
Oh, that's good.
There's trust that has to happen in a patient-doctor relationship. Mm-hmm. Yes. I feel like they won't trust me after this.
Speaking of the movie, you'd be remiss if you have a show like this and you don't reference the movie at some point. And for us in an interview like this here and everything, you have Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton, George Segal, I believe, also in the movie. I mean, it's just an original. It's one of the American classics. It truly is. And to approach something like that takes brave, takes confidence. But I think what we've already touched on, and I think you guys already get, you can't necessarily do what those guys did. You even if you tried and you were the greatest.
I wouldn't want to try.
Right.
No, not at all.
We've seen that already.
You're not going to, you know, be able to even come close to what they did. You have to do your own take on it, your own spin on it. So
how did you do that?
Thinking truly just about who George is. I haven't done a lot of directing, but when I have, I've really worked with the actors to try and get into the character. Who are they? Why do you think that way? What are you feeling? Why are you feeling that way? You know, asking a lot of questions about that, even before we start the rehearsal process, if you will. before we start learning the lines. Who are you, and really think about these things? And so that's where George comes from. What does the script tell me, but then what do I feel about it as well? So that's it. Yeah. It's a long process, and I'm still learning things. I mean, I've been doing George now for how many weeks? I've been working on this. Months have we been working on this? Mm-hmm. And I'm still discovering things. I discovered something the other day. I'm like, oh, okay. That's George. Yes. So, yeah.
I think one of the fun things with something like this is you're going to have people that will come that do know the movie that are able to reference it. You'll also have people that have never seen it, that don't know it that well. And for those out there that don't know the synopsis kind of the play and what it's about, let's touch on that real quick.
It's a punch in the gut.
There you go. That really is true, and that's a perfect summary, actually.
Oh, but it's such an awesome show that you get kind of this build, this slow build, and then you get to after the first act, you're like, wow, and then after the second act, it's like, oh, and then you get to the third act, and I mean, I'm personally blown away by it. You know, every time I read it, I'm just like, I can't believe they did that. You know, but it's so good. It's just, I love that kind of show. Mm-hmm. You know, I like my dramas. I'm not a comedy kind of person. Other people, I like to watch them, but I'm not good at that. I love the drama aspect.
I do too. And you know, as a summary, this is a show about two couples, an older couple and a younger couple. And we play the older couple because we're old.
We're old.
And we invite the younger couple over, and it's this after party, basically, and the dynamics between the two couples that devolve, basically, over the course of a few hours.
And a lot of drinks.
A lot of drinks.
Yeah, there's lots of booze going on, too.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. We start drunk,
and they end drunker. Way past. So, yes.
Yeah.
The original play opened in the Rose Theater or something like that in 62. It's a script, though, that still holds weight today. So outside of the, we'll get to the casting kind of differences there, but were there any changes to the script that needed to be made that you felt time sensitive, or things that would apply better to more to now?
Edward Albee will not allow you to do that.
Ooh, okay.
So you don't get to change any locations, any names, anything that would make a difference to it in any sense. Mm-hmm. So, but he doesn't say anything about who's cast. So that's where we made the difference.
Yeah, and I think that's where the fun, interesting, and creative differences that really comes into play with this, too. So we know right there, if you've seen this show before, you're going to see a similar script-wise as something. But how did it change casting? What were some of the changes you made there? And you've kind of touched on it a little bit already, but getting a little more into it.
Well, obviously, I'm playing George. I am not a middle-aged man. I am a middle-aged woman. But I do feel that as an actor, you should be able to take on any character if you're versatile enough and if you really want to. And I really wanted to explore George. I wanted to get to know him, to be him, to be able to do what he does. Which are not things that I do. He doesn't act like I act. He doesn't live the life that I live, you know. Mm-hmm. So to be able to become that other person was something that I just really wanted to do.
So that just leads me to a quick question. I'm just curious about how... so you, obviously you said you can't change the script at all. So all the pronouns and everything are going to stay the same.
Yes.
Are you, for costuming, are you touching on it at all? Or are you just basically just going out there...
I'm George. I mean, I have a suit, and I'm dressed like a man, and my hair is super short anyway, so.
Yeah, right,
She's playing it as a man.
Okay.
It's more like an homage to Shakespeare times, where all the roles were played by men.
Right, yeah.
And now, in this case, we're all played by women.
Well, not quite.
You're right.
But no, great. My bad. Great reference, Moselle, because it was one of the first things I thought of when I heard about the casting. How funny it is that back then they wouldn't let women on stage usually or anything like that, so that's why they don't always tell you that part.
Right.
But here we are all these decades later, all these centuries later and everything, and we're kind of doing it similarly, but only it's been flipped. You see this happen a lot more often now, where it's mostly a women cast and that kind of thing.
Non-specific gender. Casting it. Against, so.
And it also feels, especially with a show like this, I can't, I can't see it mattering, to be honest. You playing a man, if a man was playing a woman, any of these kind of things. I think that if anything, it shows a little more of the empathy that we can pull from an audience of doing it that way. Mm-hmm. It gives these shows that have been around since the 60s or 40s or what have you, a new life to younger audiences. And I think that that's just as key to equality and so many other factors that come into play with something like this.
Yeah, well, I agree, and I think people will be pleasantly surprised. Maybe not. I don't know what the word would be, but when we're up there and you're playing George, I mean, I think of you as George.
Well, and I think of you as Martha.
Yeah,
and I mean,
well,
obviously,
it's more of a stretch
not those
for you,
people. But
your acting is very good. You know,
thank you.
That's great. That's good. That's excellent.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. We're gonna come back here in just a few minutes with the cast and the director of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. But we do have to, you know, pay some bills. So we'll be back in just a minute here on Director's Cut.
Here's to Wisconsin winter traditions, celebrated year after year.
Hey, check this out.
To lighting up a frosty night with fireworks at Fish Creek Winterfest. Here's to cheering 8,000 skiers across the finish line at the American Birkebeiner in Hayward. And to snow sculpting magic at Winterfest in Lake Geneva. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Cut. We're speaking with a couple of the cast members from WRCT's Edgy Directors Showcase, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? It'll be premiering January 27th and 28th, 7 o'clock showtimes over at the Centralia Center. It's the WRCT Studio Theater right next to when you walk into the building there. Get into the details of tickets, wrctheater.org, or you can get in the day of the show. But we'll talk about that again a little bit more later. What I'd like to do real quickly is getting into these characters a little bit. Mystique, you've told us a little bit about George and playing George. What are some other things that you found that were key to making him come to life?
Part of being George is acting like George. The way he walks, the way he sits, the way he moves, the way he stands. George is he's a history professor. He does not run the history department. he is a bookworm. He would prefer to just stay in the background all the time. But he's married to this very boisterous woman, and she expects a lot out of him, and he fails at it quite miserably all the time. So that tells you a little bit about, you know, he doesn't stand very upright. He has a lot of a slouch. And he, you know, but there were a lot of things I had to learn, too. Moselle would say, don't bump out your hip like that. Men don't stand that way. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, so those kinds of things that I would do naturally as a woman that I have to break the habit mm-hmm. when I'm on stage. So that's been challenging, but it's also good because when I do sit that way, then it becomes more like, okay, I'm George now. I'm inhabiting him. So. Mm-hmm.
Some really nice details there, especially for young actors out there, I think. There are certain things that are laid out for you in the character description, and then there are other things I think you have to be a little more read between the lines. Mm-hmm. You talk about his demeanor. That's not necessarily in the script or in the cast, but you get that from reading the character and saying, okay, this guy is this is that. You have some of those more personality traits come across if you're looking for them. And I think for young actors out there listening, that's a really insightful thing to be able to mention. It's also really key because whether you're a man playing a woman or vice versa or any of these things, especially going forward in society and also with theater, these things matter and yet they don't when it comes to the casting. But once you have the part, playing that person believably, that's the job. And to think of things like that, to take notes from your cast and everything about how a man would stand or anything, just makes George that much more believable to where we get to the point where Moselle was saying, we're not going to see Mystique up there. We just see George. It just makes it that much more believable. And it's that extra steps that I see actors take, that I don't see every actor take, that I admire so much. I think that's so key to something like this. It's very cool, Mystique. Moselle, how about for you? How about with Martha? What were some of the things that you did to become somebody that you're nothing like?
With any character that I've played, and I think Mystique and I kind of bonded over this when we did our director's workshop a little bit, because you do start to learn how to bring a character to life when you're thinking about directing, because that is part of that job as well, and you have to work with your actor. But for me, I have things in my life that I can relate to and things that I can't, and for good or better, neither way, I can relate to a lot of Martha's issues. So she does drink heavily, and there has been definitely a periods of my life where I drank more than I do now, which is nothing at all. And so I can relate to that. I think we in Wisconsin here, we've all been pretty fallen down drunk at certain points, and probably more than not have had relationships with alcohol that weren't necessarily healthy. So some of those things you can draw from your personal experience. And part of the thing that I like about this character that also touches home for me is that, you know, she's just got maybe a touch of some mental illness stuff going on, you know? She's really not dealing with the reality of her life in a healthy way. And, you know, I've had family, I've had personal experience with struggles with mental illness, and those things I think are great to bring out to the forefront. And for me, that's a lot of what this is about, is the struggle of how do you deal with it, a life that is disappointing, you know, or a husband that is disappointing. Sorry, Mystique. You know,
don't take it personally.
No, because you're acting, right? But so for me, I can draw on some of my life experience. I've had a lot of ups and downs. But that's why I love this character, too, because that is juicy. You know, that is something that a lot of people can relate to. And that's what I hope to bring to the stage, is, like, she is over the top, but also, I think, relatable in a lot of ways. And I think that's what the art of theater and acting is often about, is just connecting with your audience and going, oh, yeah, that's a common experience that we have. And you know, you open your eyes and broaden your horizons by seeing it portrayed on stage. So that's what I like to get into the psyche of every character and overanalyze them to death, and then put myself in that position. So
one of the things that they'll teach you early on in school as far as acting goes is finding a connection with you and the character, finding something you two have in common. Especially talking to younger people out there going into this world, there is a fear there of almost too much of yourself being shown, or finding out things about yourself that you may have not even known or been that comfortable facing. I admire when you hear people like you touched on there, Moselle. I mean, everything that you mentioned there were not exactly the easiest things to probably look back on, but yet you do it because it's what the role requires. And it's similar to what Mystique has said, and I imagine that the rest of the cast has done too, and you know, Seth and I have done as actors and everything, but it stands out to me that much more when none of us have been paid for any of our work at Debra. We're doing this because we love to do it, and it's one thing to do something because you love it, but then to make those extra steps, to do those little things that maybe the audience isn't going to know that they notice, but they will know, they'd notice if they weren't there. That's such an extra thing, and I really admire that, Mo. I think that really adds to it, especially if I can be blunt, this isn't a main stage show. This isn't something that you know is going to, oh, the mom and dad are going to come and all these things. This is a studio show with a bit of a smaller audience. And yet you guys are approaching it, and really everybody that's done studio shows so far, approaching it no differently. You're approaching it just with the same speed, same energy and care. That stands out, and that's going to bring people not just to this show, but I think impacting future shows. I told this to Melissa with her one woman show and everything. You set a bar, and audiences remember that bar, and every audience coming is going to come back because the bar has been set. That's something that you're, whether you realize it or not, you're helping out future shows, and that goes a long way too. Do we got time to get for me to ask more rambling questions, Seth?
Yes. Ramble on, my friend. Ramble on.
What did you find most challenging about this character, Mystique?
Most challenging.
The sheer number of lines?
Well, yeah.
That's a fair answer.
We aren't even going to go there. Yeah, George is verbose. He will not shut up. And he seems to be on stage almost all the time. So that has been a challenge, but not necessarily about the character, just for me as an actor. As far as a character goes, he's so multifaceted, and there's so much depth to him and how he relates to the other characters and what he thinks about them, even though he never says it. Some things he says right out, you know, you're a smug son of a whatever. Mm-hmm. But he, yeah, there's just so much there. And yeah. So that's been good, but it's also been a challenge. So mm-hmm. to try and get in and dig into that. And really come up with him as a whole person.
Yeah. And it sounds like, I don't, not to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like even to find some of the more good or more human about him in some ways. But it does sound like you were able to find that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, he's very well written. The script is just excellent.
Yes.
It's a talky script. There's nothing but dialogue in this show. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's some action too, but there's so much dialogue. But it's just you learn so much about them just by listening to what they do or don't say.
Hmm. Moselle, how about for you?
I don't know if it's a challenge so much. With this character, I was joking before that I do like playing characters that are a little rough or not necessarily nice. And for me, that is an outlet for behavior that I would not do in my personal life. Like some of these characters act in such a way that you're like, oh, wow, sometimes I feel like doing that, but I would never. Mm. So that is fun for me, but it's also a little bit of a challenge. But I think with this particular character, because she's so all over the place, there is a challenge to try and make her relatable and real. Like, I feel like George is very, like, you could find this man easily. Mm. Whereas Martha, you know, you're not going to run into her unless you're in her house, you know? So something like, you know what I mean? It's just, I feel like she's all over the board and trying to bring about some qualities in her that, like, if you saw her at the grocery store, you wouldn't know she's such a wackadoo when she's at home. Yeah. You know, so I think that's the challenge for me, is to make her believable in that way. But
what about rewarding things? What was some of the, obviously, you know, doing it in itself is always a rewarding thing, and working with others and such. But as far as you, you're just selfish right now. Just talking about you and the character. What was something rewarding for you about it, Mustique?
Rewarding about George. Oh gosh, everything.
I'm glad you're first.
everything that he says, everything that he does, the way that he says things, the phrasing that he uses. He has a very particular way of speaking, and that's rewarding when I get it right. And when I start the sentence and I realize I've turned it around and now I have to fix it because I still have to give a cue line, then I'm like, I should have just learned the line the right way the first time. but it's rewarding to hear him, to know that I'm hitting it, or at least I feel like I am. Hopefully I am, you know.
Yeah.
To be able to make him real, that's rewarding.
Was that a voice that came? Was that a tough voice to get? Mm. Did you find his voice pretty early, or did you have to work on it?
No, it's a work in progress.
Okay,
I mean, I still am.
Okay,
I still
have a week.
Right up to the moment. We know how it works. Yeah.
Well, and that's part of the beauty of rehearsing. At least the way I like to do it is, I'm always trying things a little bit different.
Sure.
And then you realize oh. That's why he says that. Okay, so now I got to put this little bit of a spin on it to make it, you know, whatever. So that's cool.
Yeah, and that's part of the fun for sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Moselle, how about for you? Now that you've had time to think about it.
Yes. Now
I can on the spot.
rewarding as far as the character, I think because She has a lot of different emotions, like a full spectrum of emotion that's going on from start to finish. And I find that really rewarding to be able to go back and forth with that. I also really like the dynamic that we have had, because it has been such a growth process of, you know, you're starting with a pre-known story, and I'm not going to be Elizabeth Taylor, but I did watch a little bit of the movie and go, oh, okay, I can't watch this anymore because I have to do Martha in a different way. Mm-hmm. But being able to be rehearsing and working with the other characters is really rewarding, because I can see what Mystique is doing, and then that helps me evolve my character to respond appropriately. And that is fun for me. Like, mm-hmm. when we're just in the moment and glaring at each other and really getting into it, that's super fun for me, because it's like, that's the highlight.
Acting anger can be a lot of fun, especially if you're not usually an angry person. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Well, and we do have tender, you know, not tender, but fun moments, too, where we're laughing together, and that's super funny as well. So there's, like I said, a lot of different emotional highs and lows with that, and I've really enjoyed working with Mystique, because we haven't had a chance to work together since A Doll's House, and it's been years. It's been great.
Well, you went from a Doll's House to the, wow, that's heavy duty. my goodness. Man, it's a good thing you got to be.
We like our dramas.
Yes, we do.
It's a good thing, Moselle, that you got to be one of the cuckoo pigeon sisters, because that was very different. Very different.
It was.
Yeah. We're going to take another break here, everybody. But stay with us. We'll be back with more with the cast of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf right here on Director's Cut.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Cut, everybody. We've been having a great time talking with the WRCT Director's Showcase cast, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? We have director and cast member Mystique. We have the cast member Moselle here. And as we're ramping up our conversation, one of the things that I wanted to touch on that I think is so interesting is, I mentioned before, it's a show that was written in the early 60s and has been done many, many times over the years. I wouldn't say really its popularity faded too much over that time stretch, unlike certain shows that have kind of faded away. Mystique, what is it about this show that you think modern audiences still catch and still applies to? It's so still relatable to today's audiences.
It's a story about relationships. I mean, at its core, it's actually a love story, and that is timeless. So if you come in, you know, expecting to, you know, see the latest and greatest, you know, no, it's not something flashy. It's got staying power because it explores all of these emotions and the ups and downs and the relationships between people, particularly between George and Martha. But we learn, you know, about the other younger couple as well, and the struggles that they've had. And that, I mean, it always comes back to that. So that appeals to an audience because everybody has relationships or would like to have a relationship or has had a relationship. So everybody can relate in some way to that, those feelings, the needs, the wants, the how do I feel about myself? How do I feel about my partner? How do I feel about, you know, my life?
As much as things change, they stay the same. You know, relationships have grown and changed in so many different ways. What society accepts, what it doesn't, how we match, how we meet, all these different things. And at its core, it's still a case-on-case thing. It's still a one-on-one kind of thing of understanding each other, of two people trying to make something work, of having something that starts out this way and is this way now and ends up this way. All that stuff is such a relatable factor, and something that even if you're a young person and haven't dated that much, you get a feeling of. You can kind of relate to certain things. If you're an older person and have been through the ringer when it comes to relationships, you find some empathy in this. It's something that makes this particular script stand out, I think, more than others of that era, where there's certain shows you'll probably never see done again from that time period that are classics, but they're kind of stuck in that time. This is one that, yeah, we're doing this in 2023. I could see it happening in 2033, 2043. Like, I think this script has staying power. I don't think that you guys will be the last ones to do it, you know? And there's something beautiful about that to me, that the idea that that can last, that has that staying power. There's also something that, to me, speaks to, like, this is just, like, art. Like, the script itself is art. And then being able to bring it to life, it has to feel so amazing to be able to be a part of. I know that I've had bits and pieces of that in my career, but I don't think that I've gotten to do a whole lot of, like, things like this, where it's such a... I went through and reread a lot of the script, and not only is it so applicable to today... I mean, if you're sitting down and you're trying to write a script that I want to make sure that the next 50 years that they can do this show, I don't know how you do that, but they did with this. That's something that stands out to me, and I think is going to not only bring people to it, but help people empathize with those characters. Mm-hmm. Moselle, did you want to add anything to as far as how you think this script applies to today's audiences or anything?
I don't have too much to add to that. I think both, I agree on both fronts that it is a love story in a certain way, and that it applies, and it is a really, really well written script, I must say. I mean, I haven't done a ton of shows. I've, you know, not gotten into this until late in life, but I've certainly done a couple that are like, oh, this script isn't great. That this is so good. One of the things that I think is, it does make it relatable and you know, timeless, is that the dynamics between the couples are something that I think most people go through. I mean, when you are trying to figure out relationships, and we're not very good about teaching our youngsters what a healthy relationship is, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, you see a lot of examples in your parents or your grandparents or your friends, and they're bad relationships, and you think that's what it's supposed to be, and it's not. You know, so I think it highlights some of the flaws in our thinking about what a relationship should be, but it also brings forward what it could be, you know, and ooh. I think the younger people are way better about recognizing when their relationship is not right and they're going to get out. You know, I think that's a good evolution that I've noticed with the younger generations. So
I really like the way you worded that too. Very well said. One of the things that I think that is exciting about this show too is the logistics, the stage and the audience being on the same level, and a lot of that, and
that
intimacy.
Really cool, actually.
Such a beautiful thing. It honestly is something I'm so jealous of people that get. I want to do one of these shows just to experience that. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of us have done theater or stage work or just some kind of entertainment form where you've been in that setting, and it's a different feeling. It makes me think of a lot of the friends I know growing up that played some college basketball and some of those things where they loved being on the courts where the crowd is right there and you can hear them breathing practically. Mm-hmm. Like that energizes us as actors. That is fuel to us, and especially for a show like this where it can be a grind, your adrenaline is going so well because of being so close and intimate to the audience. Is that something you guys are looking forward to, that you are happy, excited about, or just plain scared?
No, it doesn't scare me. I love the fact that our audience is right there. In fact, when I was designing how we were going to do this, you know, as the director, put on my director hat for a minute, I really wanted the audience to be right there. So, I mean, the audience is sitting as far away from me to you, you know. It's we are close.
Very close.
If I spit, I might actually spit on I'll try not to spit on anybody. But, other than Martha, yeah. I do get to spit. spit on Martha.
I get to spit on you too.
Yes.
So
it's mutual.
It's in the script.
It is in the script.
Yes. Sure. So, but that's exciting to me because as an audience member, I would think that was so cool. You know, when I've had that sort of experience, you feel like you are in the play. Like, oh wow, it's just right there. It brings it to that next level of I'm not just watching something; it's happening.
It's different theater. You know, if you guys recorded this and somebody's sitting at home and they get to watch it, they're going to enjoy it. They're going to feel a lot from it. But when you are in theater, you're sitting there in that audience. All five senses are tuned in, and it's everything from smelling to feeling to hearing to seeing, and they all add up to where. If it's done right, and I do believe this is going to be, this is one of those ones where you almost forget that you're watching a show. There were moments watching Melissa's show where, as it tuned in as crazy as I am, as you both know, because you've unfortunately both had to work with me before, I get to shows, and as much as I'm looking at, where she set her prop and these things, there's moments where I'm just observing. I'm just sucked into it. And I think a big part of that makes that happen is that I can see the tears falling from her face. Like that's how close you are to these things. I can hear her breathing. Like you can't help but be pulled into these things. And especially when you have people that care this much, which brings me back to it being a passion project and where you get this added bang for your buck, really, from the creators, from the people that are doing this, because they're doing it because they care, because this is passion to them. They want to be giving you a good show. Mm-hmm. Go over the details to wrap up of how people can see the show and when the show is and getting tickets. But I have to ask our question that Seth and I like to ask all of our guests before we let you go. And this is for, you know, if you're looking for a positive, this is the wrap up here. So you're almost done, guys. You're almost done. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why? And this could be what we like to do here is kind of focus on people that maybe are no longer with us. But it could be anybody. It could be somebody right now. And it doesn't have to be somebody famous, but that's kind of where we tend to go. But I'll put you on the spot again, Mystique, one more time to go first here.
Coffee with somebody. Mozart.
Oh, good one. That's a good one. Nice.
He would be fun, I think, know, but also just to kind of get inside the genius there for a minute and like, wow. So there's my answer.
That's a new one. That's a new one, and that's a great one.
No one said Mozart yet.
That's a nice choice. Yeah. Oh, I kind of want to change my answer.
Look at Jesus. Have to be the same every day.
I suppose.
Know? I mean, you can have coffee a couple times a week, right?
It's true.
That's true, yeah.
How about you, Mo?
I immediately thought of Nikola Tesla. He is my favorite scientist, and I just think a really super interesting person, too. I mean, there was a lot there going on in his head, and I would definitely like to pick his brain. And just all the scientific work that he did is super interesting to me.
Tesla would be one of my answers too. The one thing I wouldn't probably have to worry about is him hitting on me, though. He would hit on you. Like Tesla was known for a lot of that. Like,
no, he was single his whole life, and
he liked to fool around.
He worked all the time. That was okay. Different sources. My sources say he was very unsuccessful.
This is why you need to
go
out to coffee with him so you can find out.
Find out if he actually would do that. Wow, I was not expecting a brawl at the end of the show here today. That was
so good.
Don't you say that about Nikola Tesla.
I love him just as much as you, Mozart. This is great. This show was so good. That's so good. You can catch this show, and we encourage you to do that. Buy local, support local, support local theater. The more you see these shows, the more that we can keep doing them at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, and you put right back into your community. That's what happens when you go see a show at WRCT, along with having a dang good time. Mm-hmm. The upcoming Studio Theater Edgy Directors Showcase, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, premiering January 27th. You'll have a show on the 28th as well, 7 o'clock show times. Again, see these shows and get tickets at wrctheater.org, or get them the day of right at the Centralia Center. Go there. The Studio Theater is right next to the main stage. You'll see it right as you walk in the doors. They'll direct you into the right place and everything. Again, wrctheater.org, where you can get tickets right now. Otherwise, the day of the show, get them at the studio.
Real quick before we wrap up, besides you two, who else is in the cast?
Logan McCumber plays Nick, and Ren Enders plays Honey.
All right.
Thank you. Wonderful actors, too. And yes. So talented.
Please carry on our break a leg to them as well.
Of course.
Have a great time, you guys. Enjoy the show. And to the audiences out there, you are so lucky. You're getting to see something like a really, really great piece here. I also am glad that we touched on that it's a love story, too. And I think that gets lost sometimes with this play. Mm-hmm. But it truly is. And can't thank you enough, both enough for being in love with the show. It comes across. And we appreciate the time.
Well, with these two now, because if they start becoming a theater thing together, they'll have to go by the name like Eminem or something.
At least, yes.
We already have a name, don't we?
Yes. Oh, you do?
We're either Mozique or Mistel.
Oh, is that good? Well, I don't know if
Thank
you guys...
Thank you, Kathy Miles.
Perfect.
I don't know if you caught it earlier. I kind of combined your name when I was going to Mystique for a question. I said, Mozique. I don't know what I was doing there, but yeah.
You were just right on the curve.
I was, yeah. I was
ahead of the curve, my friend. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
On this cool early evening, I will be leaving you. And I've been debating the letter that's waiting for you.
We've been. Oh, well, since we're on the subject of theater, I kind of wanted to bring up something that I've been thinking about, talking to you about specifically, James. Off air, but I figure, hey, we got a couple of minutes here. Let's go ahead and do it. So, is there any theater character or play or playwright or that you would like to that you have not been involved in yet that you would like to do on stage specifically?
It's a really cool question. There's so many authors that I want to do their work and those things. But when it comes to an actual role, I think right away of McMurphy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm.
It's one of my dream roles.
Classic, yeah.
I've been really lucky, very lucky, to have played a number of the ones that I've wanted to. But since I was a kid, other than playing Sherlock, I think the one role that I've always wanted was playing Harry Houdini. Spoiler alert, everybody, not a lot of plays about Houdini.
Which kind of surprises me when I think about it. He's kind of an American icon. You'd think someone, and he had such an interesting life, that someone would have dramatized it by now.
In struggling with that, one of the things I thought originally was, well, I'll find a play, and maybe I can bring it to something like what we were just talking about, the studio theater or something
that.
But I have yet to, again, come across anything really,
really
that substantial.
Wow.
So my daughter, I mentioned this earlier, my daughter kind of inspired me. Well, why not write something? And so I've been looking more into that, and I've been kind of working on a little bit of my own passion project involving Houdini and Tesla, actually, which is weird that Moselle brought up Tesla.
How about that? Right, yeah.
But it's just kind of one of those things. Now, I have mentioned many times, as far as really far-fetched things, playing the Joker or something like that is very entertaining to me. I'm lucky, though, because I've done over 100 roles. I've gotten to play a lot of different characters already. What about for you? What is some of the stuff that – is there anything that right away pops in your head?
Well, there's a couple of playwrights for sure that I have not done yet that I would like to do. Of course, the granddaddy of them all, Shakespeare. I have not had the chance to do Shakespeare yet.
Get out of here. Really?
No, I haven't. And that's one I would really want to do at some point in my life, just to say I did Shakespeare. I don't care what play it is at this point.
There's
some I like better, I don't think I'm ready to go out, do Hamlet, like a 3-hour thing, but one of the comedies or something like that. Now that the name is escaping me, is it Petruchio from Taming of the Shrew?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's an interesting show, it's a difficult one to do these days because considering the ending and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know I've heard of ways people have kind of worked around that in very interesting ways.
I believe it.
Which would be kind of a challenge to do. And he's kind of a fun character. He's a jerk, too, which is, kind of fun as well. But I think if there was any of the leading roles for Shakespeare that I'd want to do, Macbeth maybe, Hamlet's kind of fun, but I think for Hamlet it'd be more fun to be Laertes, because I'm getting older now, though maybe Polonius, that I can play some of the older roles. Well, ooh, Claudius. I didn't think about that.
I was going to say Claudius.
Claudius would be a good one. Yeah,
that's a good one.
But But other than that, one of the great American playwrights I would love to do, Eugene O'Neill. Because we talked about, you know, dialogue. You know, Edward Albee was a genius at that with dialogue. I'm thinking of like Neil Simon, guys like that. Eugene O'Neill, I mean, not only the such dialogue, you know, you can read his plays like a novel because his stage directions are so intricate, are so specific to whatever play he's doing. I'd like to do Ah Wilderness, the one comedy he did.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it on stage. I saw it by the Guthrie Theater out of Minnesota, one of the really good Midwest theater companies.
I just want to see a show there.
Yes. I actually saw Macbeth there when I was in high school. It was really good.
Jealous.
To do one of his plays, Ah Wilderness is a fun one because it is. It's got some really good comedy in it, which Eugene O'Neill is not known for. He's known for Mr. Serious, you know, very serious subjects, and you know his longer. Again, why am I keep picking guys that have really long plays?
I don't know, but I love it.
Challenge myself. I guess
those are
I don't know. Great.
Bro. Yeah. You did make me just now organically think of something though, and it actually happened to me last year. Is there a like? There's roles that we can't play for obvious reasons,
yeah, right.
Like age and sex and that kind of thing. But is there a type of character you won't play? Obviously wanted to do this since I was 7 years old. My goal was always to be able to play everything. Mm-hmm. And my dream for the end of my career was, well, he could do it all. He could play anything. That was the big thing that I wanted. But I had, I'm a big Law & Order fan. And I told my agent, hey, any Law & Order roles come up, let me know. I'll play, you know, one guy in the booking, you know, or something like that.
Exactly.
I don't care. Well, this is the second time this has happened where Law & Order SVU, they happen to do a lot of casting here in the Midwest. And there was a roll-up. I'm all excited. I'm like, oh, great, great. And I get the synopsis of the character, and it's a rapist. And immediately was like, my first feeling was, I can't do this. I don't think I can do that. I don't think I could play, no matter how empathetic, no matter what, even if there's nothing physical going on, just playing somebody like that, I had to bow out. I don't think I could do it. There was another time, too, where last year I auditioned, and I get a part, and then they tell me, oh, the character's blind. And I didn't feel comfortable doing that when I know for a fact there were blind people auditioning for that role.
Actual blind actors, yeah.
And I'm not taking a role from something like that. There's not a whole lot of roles for people that are blind. A blind person should have that role, I felt.
Mm.
Is there anything like that for you?
You know, I haven't really, because, you know, villains are fun to play.
Yeah.
But I guess, it depends on, I guess the good thing is there's not a ton of, you know, like really despicable characters in theater, you know, productions. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know because I've never actually thought about it that much. If there is like a specific kind of character that I wouldn't be willing to play, I mean, I've done it all. I've done drag. I've done, all that stuff that actors do. We do ridiculous things. But I don't know. I guess it would be tougher, especially I have played a role. Now that I think about it, it wasn't a role I really enjoyed that much. Not necessarily because of the kind of character was. He wasn't a good guy. Mm. And there's at one point in the show where he raises his hand to his wife.
Mm.
He does not strike her, but he does raise his hand to her. And that felt kind of weird, you know, because ironically enough, my wife was playing my wife.
Wow.
On it. So that was, I mean, we got some great responses from people, we got the gasp from the crowd when I raised my hand, you know, kind of thing. But that was, you know, and maybe that was part of it too. The role wasn't a great, you know, part of the show. He was kind of, personally, this is my opinion for it. It was Spitfire Grill.
Oh, okay.
Which is a musical.
Yeah.
But his character wasn't, I thought, well written and all that kind of stuff. But there was that part too. He was kind of a dirtbag and, you know, and sometimes it's a little, you know, too much to play something like that.
It feels like it gets under your skin a little.
Yeah.
Well, the credits are rolling. The band is playing. It is time to wrap up the show.
Mm-hmm.
We did want to let you guys know that on our next Director's Cut, Brad Jansen is going to be joining us.
Yes,
we're going to have
indeed.
Some music for you.
Yes.
Brad is on his What the Hell Am I Doing in Wisconsin in the Winter Tour. It's his title. It's the title of
That's
his tour.
Brilliant. Oh, my gosh.
Such a good name.
That's
such
great. Can't wait for that as well. And I do want to mention here, because we haven't done it yet, our theme music at the beginning is done by Gomez. I want to put that in there, and the outro music, which you're going to be hearing in just a second here, was recorded for us by Ben Chittick when he was here. So thanks to Ben for for doing that and allowing us to use it. So we'll see you again next week, everyone. Bye.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local. I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown.